ready.
Hey everyone, this is the Mean Green Nation podcast, episode 11.
Episode 11. Woo!
Yeah, like I know it's all, you know, infrequent and whatnot, but I'm in graduate school, and that means I am busy and I am tired, and I'm like always sleeping when I can. Sneaking in some sleep when I can. Hey, but we got a big game tomorrow. Today's Monday, October 15th. Tomorrow's October 16th, as, you know, usually follows October 15th. And we got a big game, and so we'll talk about it. I'm your host, Adam, the publisher of MeanGreenNation.com, and with me, as always on the podcast, is our good friend, your good friend, Tony. Tony, how you doing?
Hello, I'm here. Doing wonderful, as always.
You made a big move from Arkansas all the way to Texas, back home, huh?
Yes, I'm back in the branch of the farmer, and, you know, I'm here, and I'm excited, and I get to go to the game tomorrow, so that's going to be awesome, because I get to do a little firsthand report.
Sweet.
So, yeah.
Sweet. All right, let's jump right into this thing. You know, it's late in the day, and I've been aching to talk about this game. It's a huge game. I wrote on the site, kind of like laying out why it's so important. I think often is the case with like bigger schools. They get ESPN to tell the story for them. Like, here's why this game's important. The 3-3, and this and that, right? Well, ain't nobody doing that for UNT except like Brett Vito. But Brett Vito is such a, like, I don't know, he's like a negative Nancy is what he is. let's talk about it. UNT takes on University of Louisiana Lafayette, conference game, Sun Belt conference game. North Texas 1-1 going into this game in conference. They're 2-4 overall, but overall doesn't matter because you win the conference, that matters. Yeah, that's where you get some hardware, you get some trophies that way. Louisiana Lafayette is 2-0. They beat Troy. I know they beat Troy, and the other one's escaping me.
I want to say they beat Middle.
No, they beat Florida International. They flipped up on Florida International. That's right. 48-20 on Saturday, September 29th. They're coming off a big win over Tulane. Tulane, you might remember, beat up SMU last week. But Tulane? I don't know. They're terrible, man. They are bad. They're only averaging like 54 yards rushing a game. It's ridiculous.
Didn't Monroe put up 63 on Tulane?
Yes, everybody's taking the turn, whooping up on Tulane, and except us, we don't get to play them this year. But they'll be in Conference USA next season, right?
Yes, yeah,
yeah. So we'll get a chance to whip them. Okay, so all right, what does that mean? They're 2-0. We're 1-1. This is what it means. It means that we get to take out a conference leader here. We take them out. They'll put them at 2-1. Put us at 2-1. We'll have the tiebreaker, right? And that's the buzzer. So then that will leave Western Kentucky, who takes on who does Western Kentucky take on? They're 2-0 also in conference, and they take on Louisiana Monroe, the other 2-0 team, undefeated team in the conference, Saturday. So that's gonna leave one of them at 1-0. We take on both of those two schools. And so what that means, hear me out, folks, is at worst, at best, I mean, shit, we win the run the table here, we'll win the conference outright, and there will be no disputing it. We'll have the tiebreaker on everyone else, you know? Even if, like, Western Kentucky, whoever comes out of the matchup, Louisiana Monroe, Western Kentucky next week, whoever comes out of that matchup, even if they run the table, if we beat them when we play them, then we'll have the tiebreaker, and so we'll win. We'll win the conference. We have a chance to win the conference, and it all starts tomorrow night.
Let's go win the conference! Yeah! we definitely have a chance. 1-1 does not put you out of the race in any way, shape, form, or anything. Just as you broke down. We have a chance to control our own destiny, but it starts tomorrow night. That's why this game is so huge. I thought the Troy game was huge, and it was, but that's done and over with, and, you know, we can't go back. And so tomorrow night, this is it. I mean, you lose tomorrow night, you're down to 1-2 in conference. Lafayette goes to 3-0, and then the winner of the Western Kentucky game go to 3-0, and then all of a sudden you're trailing two teams by two or something games. And
yeah, you basically
looks really dim at that point.
Yeah, you put the conference championship in other people's hands, and yes. You're hoping that they drop it and you get another chance. Yeah. You know what I mean?
A bunch you don't want to do that.
Yeah, a bunch of other Cowboys fans, just think about Dez Bryant there. You know what I mean? Now is your chance to catch a 2-point conversion here, guys. Don't drop the ball. And that's pretty much it. That's why this is a huge game. I can't emphasize that enough. Not only is it huge and it's on Tuesday night and it's like different and everybody's going to be, they've been hyping this game. They've also been hyping this game for a reason. It's on ESPN2. I think they're selling like two tickets for $10 or something like that.
Wing zone.
Yeah. So you're going to go to the game. You're going to be in the wing, right? Which wing?
I am going to be in the wing. The
right wing.
Yes.
You should sit like right on the very, very top and just have like, just keep flapping the whole time. Like the whole game, just flap.
I'm gonna bring a big sign that says Mean Green Nation.
You should do that.
.com.
You should definitely do that. I will give
And
you
I'll try to sit, I will try to sit right behind the goalpost.
There you go.
And man. That way every time they do a field goal, it'd be bam, MeanGreenNation.com podcast.
I'm on there, listen to me. Especially you, ladies. How you doing?
And then right under it, it'll say hi, mom.
Okay, so let's get into the game proper. Louisiana Lafayette, like as I mentioned, they're a good football team. I think we can go through the rankings if we want here. I mean, they're ranked 40th in the nation in rushing offense at 190 per game, 71st in passing, but that's good for a total of 60th in the nation at 411 yards. Conversely, we're ranked, where are we ranked? I'm looking it up. We're ranked 51st in rushing at 174 yards a game, 87th in passing, which is terrible, and 81st in total offense at 380 yards a game. None of this, all this is like, depending on other things. Like, Louisiana Lafayette has played a much weaker schedule. Like I said, Tulane. They're terrible, man. And we played, at the time, the number one, number three team in the nation in LSU. And then we played Kansas State. And, we played Houston, which is, rebounding from, being terrible the first couple weeks. On the other hand, like, Lafayette has played Lamar, terrible. Tulane, terrible. FIU, they're just checking out terrible. The season. The only team that they've played that's any kind of good is Oklahoma State. Yeah. And they beat Troy, at Troy, the team that we lost to at home. That we should have beat. That was our own losing that game, So, Lafayette, they're coming into this game. They're talking a lot of mess. At least their fans are saying that they're, we're so good. We're 19th in rush defense. You're not going to be able to run all over us and whatever. I think we can handle this team, man. I think this game could be a blowout, Like, everybody's hyped. We're going to get to this in a second. Like, the Mean Green Madness was tonight. The first chance for everybody to get to see Tony Mitchell and the most talented North Texas basketball squad that we've ever seen come through here. They got to see him for the first time. And the women's team. With the women's team in there. So I think everybody's hyped. The whole campus is hyped. They've been hyping this game. What are your predictions for tomorrow night, man?
I think we win. I think we win 35-24. I'm calling that right now. I think this game is like the Troy game in a way, because it's Troy coming in was supposed to have this dynamic offense, and we're supposed to have this really good defense, and for the most part, we were able to shut them down. And, we lost that game mostly because we couldn't kick field goals. And I think this week, we know that Lafayette plays well against the run, and I really think and really hope that we've game planned for a lot more passing situations and a lot more passing yards and stuff in this game. And, I see us throwing the ball on this team. I think this team has a younger secondary. I think it's a team that is beatable in the air, and I really hope that Derek Thompson has one of those games. He seems like every year he's good for one or two of those games where he's just on, and he was on in the K-State game, and I'm hoping that, tomorrow night is one of those other games that he is just on.
Yeah, just for reference, the common opponent. I don't believe in the transitive property of football. I beat this team and you lost to that team, therefore I'm better than you. But I do think that you can kind of get some kind of a feel for like yeah, and a lot of it is a lot like matchups too. I mean, it's like boxing. Like sometimes one team just does better against another team, and that's just the case. But common opponent, Troy. Like you said, dominant offense. We held Corey Robinson, Robinson, sorry, Corey Robinson, 29 of 42 for 274 yards. 274 yards is not bad, but they're really known for the pass, and I think we did a good job bottling them up. Outside of that one long, like 74-yard pass that they used to win the game, a lot of it wasn't our defense. A lot of it was the offense. Our defense played incredibly well that game. And just for reference, Troy is 25th in the nation in total offense, and we shut them down pretty well. So I think we can handle this Louisiana Lafayette team, who played Troy and allowed, 24 points against them. Second week of the season, I'm looking here at Corey Robinson. I want to say Robertson. I don't know why. Corey Robinson threw for 485 yards against them. So he's arguably the best quarterback in the Sun Belt Conference. If we can get 250, 274 yards from Derek Thompson and control the run game, we don't even need to get the 175 yards that we're averaging here. But if we can get a solid outing from our guys, like one or two solid drives with a run just taking over, putting our team in position, and we can throw it over the top. Seems like we always are able to do that. Play action, throw deep to Breland Chancellor. Ivan Delgado, somebody going deep, get into scoring position. I think we can win this game, man. And I think we can win it big if the passing game is on point.
Definitely.
So I agree with you, is what I'm saying. All of that was me saying I agree with you.
See, another thing to watch out for tomorrow night is Derek Teagarden. He had a really good game against Houston. He finally kind of broke out a little bit. Oh, I wouldn't say broke out, but he had two or three big catches in the Houston game, and it was the first time that he had really done anything at all this season. And McCartney talked about the fact that they've been trying to work him into the office more this week because trying to build off what came from the Houston game. And so I really think, a valuable slot receiver would do this team wonders.
Yeah, Derek
And
Teagarden had three catches for 30 yards in the Houston game.
yeah, and and that's not bad. That's something to build on. He had hardly done anything pretty much up to that Houston game, I think. And he it's something to really build him on. I've heard them say over and over again that this week they're just trying to build on him from the Houston game and everything like that. So it's just another guy to watch out that I think can be a dynamic playmaker in this offense. He has quite a bit of speed, so.
Yeah, we have a Carlos Harris Jr. on the team and a certain Carlos Harris Sr. on the team. It's like, hey man, we need to spread this. Like, we're usually watching the game on Twitter. I'm tweeting about it. He's tweeting about it. He's like, man, we got to spread this ball out. We can't go one tight end or two tight ends, one receiver out there. And I tend to agree with this. And I think even though Derek Thompson, against like trying to play catch up. Only had 252 yards and threw a couple picks and had a passer efficiency rating of 97. I think he did a good job of spreading the ball out. We had like 10 receivers catch the ball today against Houston. I mean, Tanner Smith, Drew Miller had two grabs, Darnell Smith had two grabs, Carlos Harris had a grab, Ivan Delgado had four, Breland had four, like you said, Derek Teagarden had one, and then we, a couple tosses to each running back. So I think it was a good job spreading the ball out. That's kind of what we need. Yeah, we don't need to go five wide, but I think maybe like you said, slot receiver, maybe three wide with a tight end. I think it's a nice balanced offense. I think we don't need two tight ends to run the ball. And if we do have two tight ends, I think we need to get them involved. Andrew Power,
Yeah,
Drew Miller in the passing game.
definitely. I think one of the biggest weaknesses of our offense has been predictability. And I think, we've run the ball a lot, and then when we haven't run, we've thrown it to Chancellor or, very little bit to Delgado or a little bit to some other guys. And in the Houston game, we did start spreading the ball around more, just like you said. So I think getting rid of that predictability and getting other guys in there, getting more guys open, stuff like that, like you said, using two tight end sets, using slot receivers, using different things is really going to help get this offense to not be so predictable.
Yeah, and that's the thing about, like, I'm not, we're not calling for, like, an overhaul of the offense or even, like, different play call and selection. Because I think it's just more like the only thing, when we say, like, predictable, the only thing that North Texas could do really well is run the ball. And so you start keying on that, right? So when a team, a defensive team, starts keying on those plays, you gotta, you know, you gotta use what are called constraint plays. It's like when you have a spread offense, you got four or five wide receivers out there. You can't just stand there and do 5-7 step drops and hope to throw deep. They're gonna start blitzing you and hope, you know, trying to get you out your rhythm. So you start doing the screens and things. And so when you're running the ball really well, you want to be really awesome at play action passes. And that's where I think we're, like, a little lacking. We don't really run those very well. You know, like, either the passes are too high, they're too off, or we end up just getting sacked, throwing the ball away. So, yeah, we have to get them off of what we're doing. We can just run, like, inside zone, outside zone all day, or, like, a trap up the middle all day, and get 5-7 yards, we'll take it because we'll just score on that and control the ball, old school Nebraska style or something. But when they start setting up, when they start keying on that, like Florida Atlantic did to a certain extent, and stepping up and the safeties start, you know, creeping up to the line, you got to make them pay. And that's where you got to hit Breland, Ivan over the top consistently, not just like once every game. But yeah, it's neither here nor there. I think we can beat this team. I don't think Louisiana Lafayette is that good or as good as they think they are. But, you know, we don't want to get cocky either. Hopefully it's a big turnout. One thing I didn't realize, I knew it, but I didn't know it. Like, I knew the presidential debate is tomorrow night. You know, Barack Obama, Mitt Romney, round two. I didn't realize that it's on the same night, dude. This is it's a buzzkill. It's a huge buzzkill.
It's definitely a little bit of a buzzkill, especially considering that the debate starts right at 8 o'clock too, and it's like, that's right when kickoff is. But it kind of stinks. A lot of people do watch the debates, but I still think your average sports fan, your casual, or you know, your non-diehard politician buddy, going to be pretty much watching ESPN or, you know, something else on cable.
Or at least so, flipping back and forth, maybe.
Yeah. And you know, I'm a history guy, and I like politics and other things, too, and I always watch the debates when they're on. But I will say that if I start getting bored in the middle of the debate or right after the debate, I turn it right on to ESPN. So, you know, I'm still hoping that we get some pretty good publicity out of this game, and I think we will, you know, and with TiVo and with every other thing nowadays. People can still watch this game, even if they're not watching it right at 8 o'clock. So, you know, it is kind of a buzzkill, but I still think it's going to be a great atmosphere out there tomorrow night. I think it's going to be I will say this real quick. I went to look for tickets today on Ticketmaster, and the entire pretty much alumni side was almost completely gone. So that's right, a good sign. Yeah, that's a good sign. And, you know, some of the corner seats were left on both sides, and the wing zone, there was a lot left. It's a good sign. So I really think it's going to be a great atmosphere out there tomorrow night, and hopefully presidential debate doesn't take away from our ratings.
I'm sure it's going to take away a little bit from the ratings, but I think the good thing is that, like, people like DVR that thing, only watch like the first half or the second half, or just want the recap of it. They want, just give me the gist of it. I don't want to watch an hour and a half of them talking. Because it can get a little tedious, you know what I mean? Especially after, like, a long day. I know last time, this is, like, post-grad Adam speaking here, you know? Like, I had to go to work 8-9 hours, come home, try to turn on the debate. And even though I'm, like, trying to be an engaged person here, I'm falling asleep halfway through it. I'm like, oh, jeez. Just talking politics here, man. I'll listen to this tomorrow. Whatever. So hopefully that happens. Hopefully they're like, you know what? I need to pick me up. Let me watch some Mean Green football because that's super awesome. I don't know if they're going to say that. But yeah, you know what I mean? Like, the thing about ESPN2, I saw this. I didn't realize this, that it has an 86% penetration to homes. It's basically, it's in every home that has ESPN, there is also ESPN2. So there you go.
Yeah. No, that's good. That's Definitely a good thing, and I know they were all around campus today taking video shots of, like, Mean Joe Green's jersey and, like, the big North Texas sign out front and all this other stuff. So I really think ESPN2 is planning on giving us really good coverage. And also, anybody's local in Dallas, the station TXA21, which is, like, our spinoff to the CBS station,
right,
is actually going to be called UNT21 all day tomorrow.
Yeah, what is it with that? Like, I don't, like, why all of a sudden they just decided to go all in, huh?
The CBS, one of the CBS, like, big-time sports directors or whatever is a UNT alum.
Oh.
And I think Gina Miller, the host of their evening news, the TXA21 evening news, is also a UNT alum. And so tomorrow they're calling at UNT21, I believe, all day long, like starting at 6 a.m. all the way through. It's going to be UNT21 all the way. And they're actually doing their, I believe, their 6 o'clock. They're doing a 6 o'clock, like, kickoff show or 6:30, like, preview show or something live from the Hill. So sweet. If anybody's listening to this, if you're in Denton or you're in Dallas, you want to go be on TV or something, go to the Hill tomorrow.
It's the closest we're going to get to college game day.
Yeah, pretty much. It's our own little, like, game day experience. So I'm going to have to bring that Mean Green Nation sign over there, too. And, you know, hold it up behind there, too.
Just sweet.
Get on TV a little bit. But, you know, that's another publicity thing. And that's a really cool thing that they're doing and really gets us out into the Metroplex.
Yeah, and, man. It's the thing that everybody that's been a UNT fan for the last 5, 10 years, hell, anybody that's, like, a UNT fan now that's hoping for it, that they want, you know, you want a little publicity, especially a little hometown publicity, right? It's hard to beg for national attention when you can't even get the local, you know, broadcast to pay attention to you. So it's good. I'm glad TXA21 is doing this. Speaking of attention, I think there's been a lot of attention being paid to Tony Mitchell and the team. They got ranked number 2. Is that what happened? Number 2 in NBC's mid-major poll, which I don't put a whole lot of stock into. I don't want to be buzzkill guy, you know. But it's, you know, the only lists that matter are the end of the season in basketball. It's the standings, you know what I mean? Those are the ones that matter. It doesn't matter what they ranked you beforehand, not necessarily. So there will be plenty of opportunities for UNT and the basketball team, the most talented basketball team we've ever had, to go out there and prove that they're really awesome. But tonight it was everyone's first opportunity to go see them dunk the ball. I think Jordan Williams won the dunk contest. I heard that Tony Mitchell tried a double dunk with 2 basketballs. And, yeah, UNT zone, ticket zone, George Dunham won the free throw contest. I don't know what he was doing out there shooting free throws, but he won the free throw contest, yeah.
Also, he's also the father of a UNT football player.
Yeah, he's like a long snapper or something like that.
Yeah, his son Blake's our long snapper.
There you go. Yeah, from what I heard, like, I know there's some pictures here. I'm looking at the picture right now. You can find them on meangreensports.com. Yeah, I think I already had this on here. Yeah, they're like, it was a good crowd. I don't see any numbers here, but everybody said it was a good crowd. And I saw some tweets with people there. Yeah, it looks like a good crowd. Like, the lower bowl was filled. I don't see a whole lot of people up in the top. There was like a green team, a white team. There was a DJ. You know what I mean? It was fun.
Yeah. I heard reports of 2,000 plus.
2,000 so, plus.
Yeah, so if that's true, that's, you know, that's a dang good sight. Yeah. I remember some games didn't get 2,000 plus. So.
Yeah, I was going to say the exact same thing. There are some games, like, right around, like, during the holidays when we're playing, like, some, you know, like, University of Denver will come through and nobody would be there. Would be nobody there. So, yeah, man, it's awesome. First chance. I think the first games, like, November 1st, it's like a preseason game. You can find a schedule and all that on, you know, like, the usual places you find it. I think I posted the schedule on Mean Green Nation also, if you want to see my thoughts on that. Yeah, I mean, you know. Well, you can look at a schedule like, oh, I'm so excited about playing. Like, you are. You kind of plan for some trips, but, you know what I mean? It doesn't matter. You can't take any game for granted, you know, as, like, as a player. And as a fan, you're just like, well, I'm more interested in this one. But as each game comes, that game is the most important game ever. So
that's true. I
mean, yeah. So
same with, you know, same as it is in football. It's definitely true in basketball. Every game is more important than the next one, and you know, so that's how we roll. But you know, really good to see a good crowd out there tonight. Really glad to see a bunch of students. And you know, and I think, you know, having 2,000 plus out there just for this event is really good. I know a lot of alumni that probably didn't go to the game, including me. I mean, I, you know, I'm like 35 minutes away, and you know, I'm already going to be in Denton all day tomorrow, so I didn't end up making the trip up there tonight. But you know, it's just an awesome event to see that many people come out and do something like this. I know there'd been a huge demand for this for quite a while. Some people have been asking about this for like 3 or 4 years. And,
I know. I was wondering, like, when I lived up there, I was like, how come we don't do like a big blowout thing, like a Midnight Madness, you know, something like that. Like, this is not quite midnight. But yeah, dude, I mean, like, I know University of Kansas, like all the big basketball schools, they do it big. They get it packed over there and stuff, you know. It's like a spring game, you know what I mean? Like, why would you not do a kickoff? Even I'm here in San Antonio, even UTSA did a midnight or evening thing. It was terrible. Nobody showed up. It was horrible. Like, they were like unveiling their banner from going to the NCAA tournament, and it like fell halfway through. It's really kind of awkward. But
wow,
they did it. You know what I mean? I was like, how come we don't do this? I mean, you know, like even have our own little thing there.
I forgot that they went to the NCAA tournament last year.
Yeah, they won. They won a playing game. Yeah. So
did they get knocked out in that game, or did they win?
No, they won a playing game, so that counts as a tournament win, which seems kind of cheap to me. I don't know, like, I'd be touting it if I was like, you know, like North Texas won the game, and they're like, hey, our first tournament win. I'd be like, yeah, first tournament win. But, I mean, when you really think about it, are you really proud of winning a playing game? Like, really, really and truly, not really.
That irritates me, because now UTSA has more NCAA tournament basketball wins than North Texas does.
Yeah, they're going to be a conference kind of bowl, old, yeah.
Just saying.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, I've had to, like, as, like, the conference change has come, I've had to, like, pay more attention to, like, Louisiana Tech, which played a great, amazing, super awesome game against Texas A&M. That was probably the best college football game I've seen, I don't know, since maybe 2006, USC, Texas? I don't know. There have been some other great ones. But I watched that one beginning to end. It was awesome. Louisiana Tech is they're a good team. I saw the UTSA and Rice game. That was on TV also. Rice whooped their ass. I think put an end to a lot of the UTSA, hey, should they maybe be ranked talk. I don't know. So, yeah, I've been, like, paying attention to a lot of the Conference USA teams. Do you find yourself doing more of that? Like, looking at ECU and...
Definitely, you know, Tulane. I watched most of that Louisiana Tech A&M game.
Yeah.
And that turned out to be a great game, by the way. But, you know, I was pulling for Tech. So I'm like, you know, come on, let's go, Conference USA member. let's do it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I was pulling for them. And, you know, I always seem to check the scores of, like, how's ECU doing? How's Marshall doing? How's Tulsa doing? How's UTEP? I don't care about UTSA, but how are they doing? You know, just all that kind of stuff. I'm sorry. I had to get my UTSA dig in there. But,
You have every right to do it, man.
Yeah.
Dig away.
But, you know, it's just, it's interesting, and I definitely, you know, I find myself in a way rooting for two conferences right now, because it's like, I still want to see the Sun Belt do good. I still want to see our conference members in the Sun Belt get big wins for, you know, non-conference opponents and other stuff like that. But then I'm also like, come on, Conference USA, let's kick some ass too. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's just, we're kind of the middleman right now. We're kind of in between, and so it's interesting. It gives us a lot of teams to root for.
Yeah, that's why I'm kind of like, with all the success that the Sun Belt has had, like Louisiana Monroe getting that little win, Western Kentucky beating Kentucky, that's all well and good and whatever. I'd really like to see Florida International not be terrible, you know, because they're going to be coming with us, you know what I mean? Like, it's so far, it's 2-4 North Texas, and that's what everybody sees. They don't really see, oh, well, they played a good game against LSU. They don't really see that. They see 2-4. They look at Florida International, and they see, like, 0-whatever, or 1-6. They're 1-6 right now. And they see Tulane, which is terrible also, and they're like, man, Conference USA is going to suck. So... Yeah, it's pretty. Oh, and then they're like, oh, UTSA, they won 5-0. They're like, well, maybe they're not. Oh, they lost to Rutgers. They suck. That's what everybody thinks, you know? And I was talking to my buddy who I owe lunch now because he went to the University of Houston. I bet him lunch on that game. So I was extra mad that we lost 44 to 21. I was like, yeah, man, like, what is, you know, what's the deal? You know, and blah, blah, blah. Why y'all leaving? I'm holding you personally responsible for leaving, you, Houston fan. And, you know, like, he's like, yeah, but, you know, Conference USA is going to be terrible, and y'all are replacing us, and y'all going to be terrible. The whole conference is bad, and blah, blah, blah. Everybody kind of says the same thing, that same kind of, you know, that same kind of bullsh, basically.
Yeah, I did get a little irritated that I think the Sun Belt's doing better now and we're leaving. It's like, hey, the Sun Belt's starting to get really good and we're leaving. And, you know, Conference USA has struggled a little bit this year, so it'll be interesting. But I still think, you know, it's still a great move and it's still the right move for us.
Yeah, definitely. All these things are cyclical. You know what I mean? It wasn't too long ago that everybody was like, oh, the Mountain West is the shit. No, it's like, oh, maybe they're
Yeah.
not the shit anymore. Yeah, well, speaking, taking a quick look around, because I didn't write up. I was writing up, like, around the Sun Belt. Let's take a quick look around the WAC. What happened? I mean, the not the WAC, the Conference USA. See what happened over there. UTEP, they lost to Tulsa, 33-11. They're both going to remain in the conference. UAB, aren't they leaving? They're leaving, right? UAB and Houston.
No, UAB will be there. The only problem was is they didn't get a new football stadium passed, so who knows if they're gonna have football in a couple of years.
Well, they lost 39-17 to Houston. Tulane, as I mentioned, they upset. Well, I guess they upset. They beat SMU. I don't know if that's an upset, really, because SMU is 2-4. They suck. And Tulane is 1-5. Wait, Tulane was like the most terrible team. It's like they couldn't get out of their own way. UTSA, like I said, they lost to Rice 34-14 at Rice. You know the funny thing about that game? It was like UTSA took 5,000 students to Rice, and like the entire like visitor section was orange, and like there were more UTSA fans at Rice than there were Rice fans, and that just ridiculous. See, and that it's that kind of thing. Everybody's like, what kind of conference is this? Yeah, man, you think it's better, but it's maybe not. I don't know. And it also makes me not feel so bad about like our attendance. Like we got like 22,000, you know, and everybody's like, oh,
Yeah.
hand wringing.
Did
I don't know. What's
did
up?
Rice play that game at Rice Stadium or was that in Reliant?
Oh, at Rice Stadium. Yeah.
Okay. Because I know sometimes every once in a while they play a couple games at Reliant. Like that attendance would have looked really horrible at
Yeah,
Reliant.
they played Houston at Reliant in like I don't know. They gave it a name, but nobody really cares about what their name is. Yeah, okay. East Carolina went over and they whooped up on Memphis, 41-7. Memphis is leaving the conference and going to Big East, so we don't really care about that. So good on East
Memphis is
Carolina.
pretty terrible.
Yeah, and okay. This is the everybody. This is like the third time I said this thing. No lie. I deleted it, came back again. I was gonna say about Southern Miss. Well, I did say it twice. Hopefully I say it really awesome since I've had practice now. Southern Miss, they lost 38-31 to I forget how they lost to now. But the thing about them is that they haven't had a losing season since 1993, but this loss put them at 0-6 on the year. So barring a miracle, they well, I mean you know, the miracle would mean that they don't have a losing season, but they already don't have a winning season. So, you know, there you go, man.
Yeah,
And
it was crazy too. Last year they won the conference championship, and they were all excited. I don't know why. I don't know what happened with their coach. I think he left, got a new job. They're
right.
bringing in a new coach, Ellis Johnson, and they're all like, "Yeah, you know, we're the shit. We're Southern Miss. We beat Houston last year for the title." And seeing all their fans typing on the message boards and everything, yeah, we're so awesome. Then after the first game, they got blown out, and they're like, "Ah, crap! Ellis Johnson's a horrible coach, and we suck." And now they've lost like what, 5 in a row, 6 in a row, whatever
Yeah,
it is,
six in a
and
row.
so
They
it's like,
are.
hey, I suck, I suck, I suck.
Yeah, they're 0-6, 0-2 in the conference. They lost to UCF, who's leaving. So again, like these things are cyclical, and we mentioned this before in the mystery part when we recorded this, that Conference USA went 4-1 last year, And you know, now I doubt they're gonna even do. I don't even know they're gonna get five teams in the bowl.
Got it.
No, and contrasting that, let me see, what did Sun Belt do? 1-2 last season. And that's a surprise. We got three teams in a bowl game. 1-2 last season in the bowl game. So like I said, these things are still cyclical. You can't just be like, oh no, never mind, never mind. I changed my mind. I want to be. But speaking of success. Mean Green Soccer, I want to mention them. That's the women's team because we don't have a men's team. They're 7-0-1 in conference, 12-3-2 overall, and that's good to be ranked eighth in the what's other than the top 10? NSCAA South Region, the regional ranking. They rank eighth. They play the ninth ranked team, Middle Tennessee, on Thursday in Denton, 7 p.m. So go out there and support them. I'm looking at you, man. You need to be out there supporting them.
I will
And
try to be out there.
yeah, they finished up this weekend with a combined score of 13-2. They took on a couple Arkansas schools, you know,
Yeah.
including UALR, who they beat. Was it 8-2? Dang,
Yeah,
shellacking, man.
they're stepping it up this year. I mean, they're always really good. They've consistently been the best North Texas program for God. Who knows, 15 years now or something like that. I mean, they've just been phenomenal. But this was a younger team, and I wasn't expecting them to just roll through the Sun Belt like they are. And they really are. This is their last year in the Sun Belt, and they're just taking it to everybody, taking them to the woodshed, throwing them in there, and kicking their butts. And, it's been really impressive. And so, if you're in the area, please go to the game, support them. I mean, they deserve it, We always talk about attendance for football and attendance for basketball and everything, but there's no reason why our soccer team shouldn't have the best attendance in the league. They are
Yeah.
the best team by far out of anybody now that Denver's gone and we don't have to deal with them ever again. It's just no reason why people shouldn't be out there supporting that team. They're awesome. So, we love what they do for the campus and love what they do for our athletic program. So go out there and support them.
There are a bunch of them on Twitter, if you want to follow them there. I'll see if I can't. If I can't get one or two of them on the podcast, I know they're busy. I know they're out there like training, kicking ass and shit. And so I don't know. Maybe it'd be nice. Maybe especially like the graduated seniors, like maybe like Kara Brooks or something. Get her on here, talk about the season, talk about some soccer and whatnot. But that'll do it for us here on the show. I'm saying it like that, like we're gonna go put you back to regularly scheduled programming. You know what I mean? I'm slurring my words a little bit over here. Hey guys, we're done. This has been the Mean Green Nation podcast. I'm Adam. That's Tony. You find us on the lines, meangreennation.com, Mean Green Nation on Twitter, Adam at meangreennation.com if you want to email me. There's a Facebook.com/meangreennation. What else, Tony? We can find you on the internet.
You got me at Boston Mean Green on Twitter. I'm also on Facebook, so yeah.
If you make your way over to gomeangreen.com, I know we mentioned them a bunch of times. They're like the biggest, largest, most active North Texas forum around. You'll maybe find me and Tony both on there. You know, we are products of the system. Okay, guys, thanks for listening. Y'all have a good one. Go Mean Green.
Later.